Unlike your Tython, we're inclusive here. We welcome any species, creed, or breed. As do we. But Tython is a challenging place for a non-Jedi.
Yeah, well, the Nogri was a stargazer.
What do you know about them? Lannery sat down, at ease, comfortable. She was loading her questions with the subtlest of force pushes, barely a suggestion. And perhaps now she was getting somewhere.
Not much,
Loras said, shrugging. His red Sith skin looked strange in the artificial light, the color deeper, bloodier.
They're one of the lesser sects, hardly any members, no real influence. One of many who seek to look beyond the Tython system, way back into history. I've had no dealings with them before. They've never caused trouble.
He frowned.
Until now.
They want to go home, Lannery said, remembering Dale once saying,
One day I'll find my way home.
There are many who maintain an interest in where our ancestors came from, who resent that we were ever brought to Tython at all.
Are you one of them?
Not at all,
Loras said.
I've got it good here.
Lannery asked more questions about the Stargazers, information held on them, and any prominent members. She barely touched Loras' mind, and he seemed not to notice. Without hesitation, he consulted an old computer in the wall and gave her a name and address.
Ah, yes, Kara. She's not openly affiliated with the Stargazers, but she's incredibly rich, made her fortune in swing dust mining, and it's whispered that she funds them, lets them stay in properties she owns around Rahol Yon and beyond. But these are just whispers. I've found no proof.
Really? Lannery raised an eyebrow.
I've had no need to look. The Stargazers haven't done anything wrong.
5 counts of murder?
And that's for me to investigate. Please, Jedi, don't explode this one. She's one of Rahol Yon's elite, and it would leave much more of a mess.
I'll do my best, Lannery said. I'm grateful for your time. And with a nod to the two militia, she exited the holding room. She glanced back once to see Loras staring into the inactive cell, frowning, and probably already wondering who had interrogated whom. Leaving the militia post, Lannery quickly lost herself in the bustle of late afternoon.
Someone tried to kill me,
Tree said. Seems quite common around here.
You too?
Lannery shrugged. Who was it?
I didn't see. A shot, then they were gone.
You don't seem overly troubled.
It's not the first time it's happened.
Trisana tried to exude calm, but there were signs of his being flustered, his clothing a little awry, eyes flickering left and right, Leku unsettled. They had met outside Susko's tavern and then walked through the streets. It was evening now, and everywhere was a different kind of busy. Earlier, the walkways had been thronged with residents and visitors all going somewhere, a purpose in their strides. Now the ebb and flow was less urgent, destinations less certain. They drank and ate, and music emanated from many establishments, vying for the greatest volume and subtlest lure. It was a more relaxed scene than earlier, but more chaotic. Dirigibles floated above the city, the larger intercontinental ships higher up illuminated with extravagant displays that danced and pulsed light across the sky. Smaller craft drifted down and rose again, ferrying people from docking trees up to the larger vessels. Several were moving away to the east, and Lannery wondered what lay in that direction. She had already contacted her peacemaker to ensure that everything there was as it should be. Ironholgs had spat and buzzed as if annoyed at being disturbed, but all was well. She yearned to be back in the ship, alone.
Easy for someone to follow us out here,
Tree said. I'll know, she replied. And perhaps she would. She was much more alert now, and she kept her mind open to threatening thoughts, sudden movements, being the focus of attention. The Nogri had been more than willing to kill innocent bystanders to get away from her, until he'd made his broadcast, at least, and she could not let crowds be protection. But she could not know everything. And there were people like Tree who had been altered specifically so that they could not be read. Master Dan Powell, you should have told me more, Lannery thought. My brother knows I'm coming, Lannery said.
And he's trying to kill you?
She did not answer. The Nogri's camera had been plugged into the comm column to send the images of her, and it seemed likely that they were sent to Dale. From what the Jedi Masters had told her, he appeared to be the head of the Stargazers, or this faction at least. But why would the Nogri be so willing to kill himself rather than be captured? Loras had called them a cult, but they worshipped nothing. They craved a single purpose, but that made them more like a criminal gang than a group of twisted fundamentalists. They were an enigma she had to solve. So when are we seeing Kara? She asked. Tree's surprise was obvious. His extra Leku twitched in annoyance because she'd found out something he'd believed was a secret. Perhaps concealing something from a Jedi had given him a sense of power. Either way, his brief display of petulance did nothing to endear him to Lannery. Don't worry. I didn't pluck her name from your mind.
I know,
Tree said, trying to smile again.
So where did you hear about her?
I have my sources. It would do no harm to let Tree think he was not her only contact on Kalamar.
I spoke to her people earlier, as I said I would, Tree said, before the bastard took a shot at me. She'll see us at midnight.
Where?
You don't know everything about her, then,
Tree said, confidence restored a little. Only her name and where she lives.
And never leaves. Rumor has it she hasn't left her apartments in 13 years.
Why?
She can't. Come on. Time to introduce you to some Kalamar culture. It's close to where she lives. We can kill a couple of hours.
Lannery didn't like his turn of phrase, but she followed as he led the way, always on guard, keeping her mind open, listening and sniffing for trouble. She sensed plenty. But for now, none of it was for them. The Pits was aptly named. A subterranean tavern deep beneath one of Rahul Yon's more salubrious quarters. It displayed more than anything Lannery had yet seen of the mix of cultures, people, and philosophies that existed on Kalamar. She had heard of gladiatorial combat on Nox, and once on one of Maurer's moons. Visiting the Jedi recluse Nalander, she had witnessed the results of a contact knife fight. Nalander had told her that the fights were often arranged for money or standing, and that the losers did not always survive. On such an outpost as Maurer and its moons, this had not surprised her. On Nox, such brutality was commonplace.